The Lord be with you. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke chapter 12 verses 13 to 21. This reading is found on page 1031 of your pew Bibles. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods, and I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" And this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You may be seated.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. About 10 or 15 years ago, Mark Dyer, who's an Episcopalian bishop in the United States, wrote a really interesting article in which he suggested that about every 500 years, the church feels compelled to hold what he calls a giant rummage sale. He said in the year 500, it was St. Benedict and the formation of the monasteries. And around that time, it was the first great mission of the church beyond Rome. And then 500 years after that, it was the great schism between the Eastern Church and the Western Church. In the 1500s, it was the Protestant Reformation. And he says now, another 500 years on, we're living in and through another of those times of great upheaval, a time of great change. And no one's quite sure what it will look like on the other side. Phyllis Tickle, who's another American author, wrote a book a little while ago called The Great Emergence. And she looked at these great 500-year cycles in the life of the church over the last two millennia. And she said that at the heart of each of these times of change and upheaval, is the same question. She says, underneath each of these times of upheaval is the same question. Where now is authority? Now, what is most important at this time in our history? Where do we locate authority? And it seems to me that year after year, it's a question that gets louder and louder and more important for us to answer. Because it's a question that sits underneath all sorts of questions we have in our society at the moment. Now, what does it mean to be human? What do we mean when we talk about sin and salvation? What's the role of faith in shaping communities and culture? What is the relationship of Christianity to other faiths? They're all questions that are at the heart of our lives together in community, but all of them have underneath them that question of where do we locate authority? What do we think is most important. Richard Fay, who's a parishioner at the cathedral in the city, says society has done much of our work for us. Society has already sifted through our house and decided for us what doesn't belong. He says this time of disruption is a time of great invitation, because it's an opportunity for us to decide for ourselves what is most important. I reckon at a confirmation, it's not a bad question to ask. Where do you locate authority? Now, what is most important for you at this time in your life? I remember a number of years ago when I was the parish priest of Katherine in the Northern Territory, and we'd got to the end of a long series of confirmation preparation classes with a group of teenage boys. I made the mistake at the end of the last session of saying, "So are there any final questions?" And Philip put up his hand and he said, "So, Father Jeremy, what difference does any of this make?" I decided then I'd failed. What difference does any of this make? In other words, what is the good news? Why does the death and resurrection of Jesus actually matter? Why not just sleep in on Sunday morning and leave all this stuff to others? Herbert O'Driscoll, who's an Irish writer, says the only place from which we can begin to share the good news is our own experience of the good news. That is, what difference does it make for you? And unless we've thought about and can answer that question, we'll find it very difficult to invite anyone else in to experience that same thing. Now, I'm not going to put you on the spot, and I'm not going to go around and ask, what difference does it make for you? I know you'd answer, that's why I'm not going to ask you. But it's a question worth thinking about. What's the difference? How does your life look different because you're a Christian? How is your life different the other 6.5 days of the week that you're not in this place saying your prayers and sharing communion and offering worship to God? It seems to me that one of the reasons that many Anglicans are not very good at sharing their faith with others is because we've forgotten our own experience of the good news. Or at least we've forgotten how to talk about it. We've forgotten what it was that we first fell in love with, what it was that first brought us to faith. When you front up for confirmation, my hope is that at least that's in the forefront of your mind just for a moment. But for the rest of us, it's worth thinking about again. What difference does it make? And it's a terrific question because it gets at the very heart of why we do what we do. It's precisely where the rubber hits the road for Christians. It's a question that we should ask ourselves, if not daily, then certainly regularly. I often joke that I have to be converted sometimes 2 or 3 times, even before my first cup of coffee in the morning. It's deciding again what difference it makes in my life. In the Anglican tradition, confirmation is talked about as a mature public affirmation of faith. It's an aspirational thing, but it's something that all of us should aspire to have the capacity to make a mature public affirmation of faith. And probably no one of us has all of the answers. But it's one of the great things about journeying together in community is because together all of our individual answers point to something much better. There's a new report from the Church of England that says that the church has possibly forgotten how to tell the Christian story to the 93% of people who would never think to walk through our doors. It says, the problem is we've forgotten how to tell our story. Or to put it another way, we've only been telling part of the story. In part, it says it's because we don't actually know what the story is. The church in so many places is a mile wide and only half an inch deep. And it finishes by saying, many people in our churches simply haven't reflected enough, or simply haven't reflected lately on how the story impacts the many different parts of their own lives. It says, people are not going to start to listen because we shout louder or use better social media. People will take notice when the Christian that they know clearly lives by a different story and is ready to tell them that story when they ask. What difference does it make? Where do you locate authority? What are the voices that you listen to that guide your path, shape your life? In the Gospel this morning, Jesus very pointedly asks that question. And it's even more pointed for those of us who live in this world of consumerism and materialism where we accumulate more and more stuff. I was reflecting at the earlier service that we have a terrific double garage at home in which we can't fit the cars because the garage is full of stuff. And I hear this gospel standing with my brand new iPad in the knowledge that I have a new phone arriving during the week, and I'm challenged about where I locate authority, where for me is that thing that is most important. In this world where we're sold the idea that we must have enough superannuation and life insurance and health insurance, we must have the newest and the best and the latest, the gospel says, where do you locate authority? What is most important to you? And if we listen carefully to the gospel, and if we locate ourselves in the very heart of God, we'll know that it's only in that place, when God is the location of our lives and our authority, that we'll find the happiness that that man in the parable sought so desperately and got so wrong. So I'd encourage you today, especially as we participate in the confirmations in a moment, I'd encourage all of you to have that question rattling round in your head. What difference does it make? Where do I locate authority? What is most important for me? In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So we welcome those who have come to be confirmed, and I invite their sponsors to present them now.
We present Lara Ferguson,
Rosalind Manders,
who come to be confirmed.
Thank you. Terrific. So before God, and this congregation, you must affirm that you turn to Christ and reject all that is evil. And the first question I'll ask you each individually, and then the others you can answer both together. So, Lara, do you turn to Christ?
I turn to Christ.
Roz, do you turn to Christ? So, do you repent of your sins?
I repent all my sins.
Do you reject selfish living and all that is false and unjust?
I reject them all.
And do you renounce Satan and all evil? And finally, will you each, by God's grace, strive to live your whole life as a disciple of Christ, loving God with your whole heart and your neighbour as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
Terrific. Now I ask everyone else, you've heard these, our sisters respond, renew their response to Christ. Will you support them?
We will.
So let us pray for those who have affirmed their baptism and to receive the laying on of hands. Merciful God, deliver them from all evil that they may walk in the way of truth and life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Open their hearts by the Holy Spirit to your grace and truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Keep them in the faith and communion of your holy church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Send them into the world to witness to your love and justice. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And bring them and us all into the fullness of your peace and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And so as we remember the difference that the faith makes in our lives, I now ask all of you to join with Lara and Roz in affirming the faith of the church. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in God the Son?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in God, the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This is the faith of the church. This is our faith. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Blessed be the name of the Lord, now and forever. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, you have given your servants new birth by water and the Spirit, and have forgiven them their sins. Strengthen them, we pray, with the Holy Spirit, that they may grow in grace. Increase in them the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of discernment and inner strength, the spirit of knowledge and true godliness, and fill them with wonder and awe at your presence, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. To Lara. Strengthen, Lord, your servant Lara with your Holy Spirit. Power and sustain her for your service. Amen. Stand up.
Strengthen, Lord, your servant Roslyn with your Holy Spirit. Empower and sustain her for your service. Amen. And I invite you all to pray for those who have been confirmed. We say together, defend, O Lord, these your servants with your heavenly grace, that they may continue yours forever and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more until they come to your everlasting kingdom. Amen. So Lara and Roz, you might like to turn and face the congregation and they will congratulate you with great acclaim. I was saying earlier, it's one of the nicest things a bishop gets to do is confirmations. It's such a joy to see people who are prepared to make that public affirmation of their faith. An inspiration to all of us who need to ask again that question of what difference does it make. So, well done. Well done.
So, Lara, I'd like to present to you your confirmation certificate and also a gift on behalf of your church family here.
Thank you very much.
And Roz, likewise for you, your confirmation certificate and a gift on behalf of your church family here. So, bless you.